Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein and Rhett Goldstein, very briefly. So if you were lucky enough to see his appearance, he's here too. Talking 53-man roster predictions. And very quickly, before we dive into that, we just wanted to extend a very big thank you to Adam Bradley, who became our very first subscriber or supporter on Spotify, which is very, very cool. Adam, we super appreciate it. If you're listening on Spotify, remember that there is a support button there as well. If you're finding us on YouTube, please make sure you're liking and subscribing to the channel because it means a lot to us, really helps us out to get our numbers out there and up there. So, Perry, we saw the Packers beat the Ravens in a really nice preseason wrap-up, a really nice bounce back after the Broncos game that we had a lot more questions than answers after, but I think as we kind of dive into the 53-man roster prediction, we still are left with quite a few questions in regards to some very specific and important roles. Like, I don't know, kicker. That's one I'm sure we're going to have to talk about, but any holistic thoughts before we dive into the actual 53?
Well, I think we'll get to a lot of the game when we talk about our 53, because, a number of guys made their case for like why they deserve to be on the team in this game. Like you said it, but this was like the antithesis of the Broncos game. It was a nice showing from a lot of guys, especially guys who are making kind of that last ditch effort to show why they deserve to stick on to this roster. The defense especially, I think, is what stood out to me. As well as Michael Pratt getting a lot more time at QB than in previous games. Really nice to see him. And I thought he had actually a great day minus the very bad interception, but hey, it's going to happen, right? Just a bad read. And I like to see them bounce back. I know it's just preseason, but I think that momentum going into the regular season, like regardless, is really important. And now, unfortunately, we get to, I think, what is the worst part of the offseason, which is unfortunately some guys are going to be let go from this team. And it's just part of the business, unfortunately. But there are guys that have played their butts off. And for whatever reason, we'll get into it, it's sometimes just a numbers game, will not stick onto a roster. And so you and I both have our rosters here, but I think overall, like, really nice top to bottom showing against the Ravens and feeling good about where this team is going into the season. Like, from a depth perspective, I think I've been saying this all off season, but they have tough decisions coming up because the depth on this team is really freaking good.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate to have that, you know, be in the position that the Packers find themselves in, because that hasn't been the case in a previous season. So really nice to be able to say, oh man, we're not sure. There's probably 55, 56 players that you would normally want on your 53-man roster. So yeah, Let's go ahead and get started with that. We'll kind of move through them, give a little analysis here if we think it needs some explanations, but starting with the quarterbacks, this one is tough. And I told myself that I wasn't going to tinker with my prediction. I'm going to try to just stick by it, leave it as is. On my 53, I have two quarterbacks and I just have Love and Pratt. But the more I think about it, the more I think Clifford probably sneaks onto your practice squad, so you don't maybe need to claim a roster spot for him. But I do think the Packers really would prefer to have all three of them around.
I agree with you. I think all three are in the building. I actually don't know. I think everyone feels really high on Michael Pratt, right? And Goody loves to keep his draft picks, right? So that's like kind of where I lean. And yes, we most recently saw more of Michael Pratt, but I actually wouldn't. This is just me playing devil's advocate, because I actually like lean a little bit more and agree with you where it's Love, Pratt, Clifford on the practice squad. If they went Love, Clifford, Pratt on the practice squad, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Right.
But I do think it's all three of them around.
Yeah, I think it'll be really tricky for them to keep all three, just because I think, as we're going to talk about, there's other spots on the roster that really need those extra spots. And running back to me is one of those. If we want to look there, I have four, which I think is kind of controversial, maybe. And I think it'll depend if you have to have Lloyd or Dylan starting on injured reserve. That would, of course, skew the numbers here. But talking about them being on the initial 53 before they can move to IR, I have it as Jacob, Dylan, Lloyd, and Wilson. I think Wilson has just done so much to deserve that RB3 spot, or even RB2, while they're kind of, you know, hoping that Dylan and Lloyd get back into playing shape.
So, unsurprisingly, you and I are in lockstep. I also have four. I just feel like Emmanuel Wilson has done way too much and shown way too much to say, like, he does not deserve a spot on this roster. I also agree with you that given, like, where some of the injuries are, and I don't know if either Dylan or Marshawn Lloyd are IR worthy, but certainly I don't think either both of them are going to be ready to start week one. You need Emmanuel Wilson on this roster. You need him on this team. So I have Jacobs, Lloyd, Dylan, Wilson. Just the clear difference to me in the Ravens game when he was in versus when he got taken out. And we'll get to our practice squad. Like, I think Ellis Merriweather sticks around as well on the practice squad, but it was just night and day what Wilson can do versus the other running backs. So yeah, four running backs for me.
And it was really nice to see, we'll talk about that group in a little bit, but the blocking from the O-line, because that was one of the knocks, you know, earlier in the season, was that, boy, mm-hmm. once you take the starters off the field, the depth is shaky. And I thought that they've played better as the preseason progressed. So wide receiver, have to talk about it. Obviously, this one's a really, really tough one. I've got six. This is the one where I told myself I wasn't going to tinker, because we know we have Watson, Dobbs, Reed, and Wicks as the four. Mm-hmm. I give the nod to Melton and DeBose. And then, of course, Malik Heath in this last game has a touchdown, plays really well, is a phenomenal blocker, was one of the undrafted players to make the 53 last season. But I think maybe he's one of the really likely candidates to stick on the practice squad. Or, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit here, too. There's a lot of rumors floating around that some of these receiver-needy teams, there's a lot of depth here, and maybe if Goot needs some leverage to go get himself a kicker or something, one of these guys could be exiting the building. So I'm curious who your six are, who you give the nod to here.
What if I have seven?
Do you? Okay.
This was the toughest one for me. This and inside linebacker were the toughest ones for me, like, hands down, because to me, I agree, top four are locks, easy. I also think Bo Melton, for whatever, like, difficult early preseason quotes, if you're listening to this on audio, I'm putting this in quotes, had, throw that out the window. That guy is a roster lock. And to your point, we have heard rumblings that if receiver needy teams are looking to potentially make a very late in the offseason trade, he could be a very good candidate for that. So there is absolutely no way that they are getting rid of him. That touchdown that he had early in the Ravens game was just like, hello, hi, remember me? Yes, I'm very good still. Yes, thank you. It's to me between Heath and DuBose, and they just bring different things to the table, right? Yeah. Heath is an absolutely better blocker than DuBose is, which is super important in this Matt LaFleur offense. I think he is probably stronger on special teams as well than DuBose is, and he has the extra season of experience. But I think DuBose has more of the upside as far as, like, an actual route runner and, like, long-term wide receiver. So it's just a matter of what they want to covet and what the Packers want to do in terms of, like, their vision, right, long-term. I can see it going, like you said, where they keep Heath and try to stash DuBose on the practice squad. But also, like, I kind of want to put DuBose on my 53.
Yeah, he's on mine. He's my six. I had them.
Yeah.
But it's tough. And I think maybe that's something too. You know, the Packers are playing chess here, trying to figure out who is more likely to clear waivers if they have to try to stash one of them. And I mean, we've seen receiver is such an injury prone position that all of these guys could see playing time during the season. So however you have them on the active roster or the practice squad, you want those guys in your locker room.
Is it crazy to keep seven on the active roster? Like,
I don't think it's crazy. I think, you know, because if we kept three running backs, then seven makes a lot of sense. So I think it's where you're willing to sacrifice the body. And I think that would be one of the cases for not keeping three quarterbacks.
Right.
Or, you know, like, let's talk about tight end. I have three only.
Okay.
And we've seen the Packers historically keep four, or at least the last couple seasons when they had Josiah DeGuara and Ben Sims to round out that room. This year, I just have them keeping Musgrave, Kraft, and Sims. I love Tyler Davis. I love his story. I think he'll stick around on the practice squad. But as far as contributing right now, I think Ben Sims has had the best camp. He's the most familiar, you know, since he was here last season, has played a lot on special teams, and I think can kind of take that over from Tyler Davis. I love Joel Wilson. I think he's like a fun upside kind of practice squad player, but I think three is where you have to lock the tight ends if you want to stash another skill player somewhere else on the roster.
I'm with you. I had the exact same. And I think just with Tyler Davis also still working back from that injury, you can get him back on the practice squad. And if you need to or want to elevate him at a certain point, like later down in the season, that's like a perfectly viable option. But Ben Sims has had a really nice preseason, and he also like played last season, right? So that was an easy three for me. And I also have Joel Wilson on my practice squad.
All right. O-line, I think, is where we'll start to see some differences potentially, just because I think there's a lot of different ways that the Packers could take this. And we talked about this a little bit pre-show, where guys playing a lot versus guys that were inactive. The Packers sat 38 players. We're not sure if all 38 of those guys are locks for the active roster. We found out, of course, like cornerback Robert Rochelle was dealing with a hip injury that we didn't know about. Potentially Andre Dillard is in the same situation where he's got an injury that he's dealing with. But my nine, I kept nine, not 10 for my O-line, as Jenkins, Myers, Tom, Ryan, Walker, and Morgan. Then I have Monk and Glover, the two other draft picks, and Dillard, actually, I thought kind of won the job for swing tackle. And I think that they'll want to keep Caleb Jones. I think they'll want to keep Kadeem Telfort. Those are easy practice squad guys to me, and easy elevations if you need to on game day. But I went with nine, and Travis Glover got the nod to me as the most recent draft pick.
Okay. So again, we're in lockstep. So this is where, if I want to keep seven wide receivers, I put Caleb Jones or a Kadeem Telfort on the practice squad, and I only keep Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Morgan, Tom, Ryan, Monk, also Glover, and Andre Dillard. And then I put Caleb Jones, Kadeem Telfort, Luke Tenuta, et cetera, on the practice squad. You don't need to keep an additional tackle. That is if Dillard is healthy and doesn't need to go on IR, because that to me changes the equation entirely. Because if he does, then you are keeping a Caleb Jones or a Kadeem Telfort, who both had really nice preseasons and really nice camps and have been fighting like hell for one of those spots. Either way, I think they stick around. And it is really interesting the way that they've like restructured this like roster plus practice squad, because while you may not make the 53, like the 16 man practice squad is basically like an extension, I feel like, of the roster. So it's not the end of the world. It's not like you're losing these players, but I'm with you. I have Glover. We, again, reiterate, know how Goot feels about making sure he keeps his draft picks. I want to also just shout out, since this is a little bit post the Ravens game, like how good Jacob Monk looks at center right now. So that to me is also just like worth noting, since we knew going into this offseason, it didn't necessarily feel like Josh Myers has his job locked up, just like something that I'm going to be watching for across like the rest of the season. But I think nine is fair, especially like we said, they have a lot of skill position players that they may want to keep. So if they do four running backs, if they do decide to go with my thought process of seven wide receivers, then you do one less offensive lineman. It doesn't feel very Packers-y to do that. I think at the end of the day, they probably keep 10 offensive linemen, because that historically is like what they have done. They usually roster 10, but we'll see. This year it feels a little bit like an anomaly.
Yeah, so let's shift then to the defensive side of the ball, and we can start maybe with the defensive line. This to me felt the most solidified. I think if there was one question mark, you could maybe argue that it's Colby Wooden, just because he didn't flash as much his rookie season, but he added weight. He made some splash plays in the preseason. So to me, the five was pretty standard. Clark, Wyatt, Slayton, Wooden, Brooks. And I do like Jonathan Ford. You know, it sounds like he made some really nice plays, but again, he's a really strong practice squad candidate. I just don't think, especially when we're going to talk about some of these other positions on the defensive side of the ball, I just don't necessarily think that they can afford to keep six linemen at this point.
I agree with you. I had those five, and I feel like of all the position groups, it's probably the easiest one to just say five, done.
All right, so then let's shift. I guess technically you could call these guys linemen now since we're talking about a 4-3, but old habits die hard, so I'm going to talk about them as edge rushers.
Yep.
But yeah, I have five here, and this is the one that I did change. I think a lot of people will be in the same boat. I'm curious your thoughts here. Smith, Gary, Van Ness, and Enagbare were locks already. Mm-hmm. I had Brenton Cox Jr. for most of camp, and every show I said it's going to be between Cox and Aaron Mosby for that last spot. I think there's a world that they keep six, but I didn't in mine because I wanted to keep six elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I took Mosby. I changed it. I think that, you know, Brenton Cox kind of had the inside track because he was, again, another undrafted player that made the active roster last season, was with the Packers, but he didn't really put up any stats, you know? And I think there's kind of a bias where he looked really good, but you might be able to sneak him onto your practice squad at this point because he hasn't done as much recently or put enough on tape like we've seen from Mosby. So whoever is not the fifth rusher, I think you want on your practice squad without question, unless, you know, they land somewhere else on an active roster. But that was tough for me. I had it as Cox for the longest time, and I switched it to Mosby. So that'll probably be the knock where I get it wrong. But yeah, he played so well, and he made a play every preseason game that I had to give it to him.
I don't disagree with you at all. And I think both Brenton Cox Jr. and Aaron Mosby are back with this team in some capacity. I just have a hard time with their needs in other places, seeing them keeping more than four.
Okay.
Like, I think Cox and Mosby, look, and watching Aaron Mosby in especially this most recent game, having a strip sack and then an interception, like, how can you not make the case for someone like that to make the 53? And if it's five, for me, it's him for sure. But there are inside linebackers and the secondary where I cannot get rid of some other certain players. And I find it much, much harder there than here, you know? Mm-hmm. Where the four are locks. And I think also in this new system, you're looking at it more as a group of 11.
Yeah.
Not as two separate individual, like, position groups a little bit. So if I'm like, okay, the defensive front is, sorry, not 11, math, nine, but 11 with Cox and Mosby, like, that's too many. I just can't justify it. So I ended up putting both Cox and Mosby on my practice squad.
Nice. Okay. I like that we're starting to disagree a little bit, because I think it gets boring, right? When there's no questions. But let's shift then to inside linebacker. I kept six. I'm going to be honest. I have had six since probably the first preseason game. And it's Walker, Cooper, McDuffie, Wilson, Hopper, and Welch. And I think Welch is in the same category where he has just played so well. And then you have the caveat of Cooper potentially not being ready to start the season. And if he is, we haven't seen him take actual game reps in the preseason because he's been injured. So you're looking at, you know, maybe it's like Walker, McDuffie, and Hopper as your base in your 4-3 to start the season. And you've got Wilson and Welch as like really good special teamers who come in certain sub packages. And I know there's been, you know, a lot of discussion about, is it Wilson or Welch, you know, for that fifth spot. I think in this new defense under Jeff Hafley, that prioritizing six inside linebackers that are versatile and can do different things, that's where I'm giving my extra defender, is actually not in the secondary or the D-line. It's inside those middle backers.
So that's why I didn't keep an extra D-lineman, is because I 100% agree with you. I have six inside linebackers. Like, A, Christian Welch has had too good of a camp. Like, of all the players who have been on the cusp, and there have been many, right? We've talked about them. Grant DuBose, we just talked about two edge rushers. Like, Christian Welch has consistently made plays across the entirety of the offseason and preseason games to the point where you and I have said, in any other year, he would absolutely be making this roster. They just happen to be really deep at inside linebacker. And now in this new scheme, I think it's super important. He's also going to play special teams, like 100%. He has carved out his role on the 53, in my opinion. Potentially also, like you said, as inside linebacker five right now, if Hopper is not going to like play necessarily just yet. And if Cooper is still hurt to start the season, he just continues to climb up the depth chart. So I also have six. I have all six on the roster, which I think is a hot take a little bit from us.
Yeah. I mean, this is where I think, because I, to be honest, I have not kept track of how many players that you've currently rostered. I only know how many I have left because I put in parentheses next to the positions. But this is where I'll be curious where we kind of split the corners and the safeties, because my logic for keeping six inside linebackers was that you have enough crossover in the rest of your secondary that you've got guys that can do both. We talked about Javon Bullard and Evan Williams as being guys who can be your big nickel, who can play dime. So in other seasons where we may have seen six corners, I'm only keeping five. And there was a part of me that really only wanted to keep four. And it would have been Alexander, Nixon, Valentine, and Stokes. But I think Kalen King is just enough of a project. And maybe that's why he comes back on the practice squad. I gave him the bump to stay on the active roster. He's my fifth corner. But I really, really thought about only keeping four corners and going six at safety instead.
Okay. I have six corners.
Okay.
And it's just the typical. I have Robert Rochelle on the practice squad and Alexander Stokes, Nixon, Valentine, King, Valentine on the roster. Just basically the roster from last season plus King. And I agree with you. I think in terms of what he's shown, his draft status, like being a draft pick, as well as I think the projection of where he could go, it's important that he's on the roster. We've said it over the course of this season. Like, I think he could get actual meaningful playing time given the rotation in the quarterback room and the way Jeff Hafley is going to use them. To me, it's important having a full secondary depending on injury. We saw it last season right? All of a sudden you're starting a game with Valentine and Valentine on the boundary. We certainly obviously don't want that to happen this year, but this is where I think they protect themselves. And Robert Rochelle, again, we don't know how serious potentially his injury is at the moment. If that's like an IR situation or if they cut, keep, whatever, but I think he's a practice squad candidate. And they do six, the classic six. This is like one of those that it's the simple answer is the right answer.
I was really surprised going back and looking at the initial 53 from last season that they only kept four. And it felt, you know, to your point, like that's when things got really dicey. So obviously you can't predict injury, but this is the part that I think there's some questions. It feels like it should be easy at safety. It feels like there's McKinney, Johnson Jr., Bullard, Williams, and Oladapo are five. But I struggled with this because obviously I was a big Oladapo like person in the draft, and he, you know, has not had the full slate of training camp to be able to, you know, put as much on tape as like a Bullard and a Williams. I have him on my 53, I have him getting that last safety spot, especially starting out as like a special teamer and then maybe getting defensive snaps late in the season. But I wouldn't be entirely surprised if he's a practice squad candidate and Zane Anderson sneaks in there. Mm. I prioritized Welch over Anderson because mm-hmm. of their special teams. And I think the depth at inside linebacker is more needed right now, given that you've got four safeties who can start and inside linebackers are kind of banged up. But yeah, that one was tough for me. It hurt my heart a little bit to think about him not making the 53, but I almost put Anderson in there over Oladapo just because he hasn't been able to play it as much.
Yeah. He could be a good practice squad candidate. You know, no one's going to go and grab him. I have Zane Anderson on my practice squad, but also we know how important he is to special teams. So interchangeable in my mind. I agree. I have five as well. McKinney, Bullard, Williams, Anthony Johnson Jr., who certainly has made the case to make this team, and Oladapo. But I didn't feel great as well about Oladapo, just given that we haven't really seen much. Like, this choice is simply because he was a draft pick.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I think that's where the practice squad gets really fluid too. And unfortunately, I think there's a world where some of these guys are signed. You know, like there could be a world where Robert Rochelle is the 53 instead of Kalen King. And then Rochelle moves immediately to IR. And then, so I think we're going to see like a lot of jostling in the first couple hours of the official release, but we'll see. We should probably talk about special teams.
Yes.
Probably have to do that.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that we have Daniel Whelan and Matt Orzich as our punter and long snapper since they released the other long snapper.
Yes.
Let's talk about kicker. Okay. I truly didn't want to keep either of them, and I wanted to go into this with 52, knowing, of course, that you can't fill it and not have a kicker, even initially. But I decided to keep Carlson.
I did.
We know that Alex Hale is their international player pathway program player. So he is going to be that 17th player on the practice squad. Obviously, he has not been given the opportunity to win that job yet. So he's like your emergency kicker, I guess, if everything goes to hell. But I thought once Carlson hit the 55 yarder that the job was his, and then he missed a 32 yarder right after. So
I know
I guess that's where this conversation goes. Do you think they stick with one of the two, or do you think they're actively searching for a better option, knowing how loyal they are to their draft picks?
I think both. I think they're going to have to roster one of them, but I don't think the search is done. And to our earlier point, like, who knows if a trade happens? Who knows if an additional signing happens? We just saw a Cade York trade, right? I gave the nod to Carlson as well. It was so painful watching him miss that 32. I was just like, you've been perfect. Finally, someone is pulling ahead. 32, chip shot. Missed it wide. It's just, it's so, so painful. Because Greg Joseph also has had like a decent camp, but that's the problem is that they've both just been decent. Yes. I honestly, between you and me, nothing's between you and me. We're sending this out to the world. Between you and me, I don't really have any like deep analysis on why I went with Carlson over Greg Joseph. It's really just a gut feeling. He's their draft pick. I think likely they probably just want to give him another year of development and another shot with the team. That's kind of just where I'm at with it. But I think they will continue to bring in competition over the course of the season if things do not get better.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a really good point. There's a world where Anders Carlson is the kicker on the active roster, but maybe you've got Alex Hale and then you've got, I don't know, Greg Joseph as one of your 16 on the practice squad or whoever is out there, right? Because I think what they're hoping for is what we saw from Daniel Carlson with the Raiders.
Yes.
Cut from the Vikings, struggles mightily, goes to the Raiders and sees Rich Bisaccia, has a career rejuvenation, and now is one of the better kickers in the league. It takes time. We talked about Crosby and how it took like five seasons for him to eclipse that like 85% threshold or whatever we would deem as like respectable for for field goals. So I think that you make a really strong point that Carlson maybe is the guy on the active roster, but I think throughout the entirety of the season, and if they need to, like, I think that the challenge here is that you never want it to be, well, okay, Alex Hale is going to be our practice squad elevation this week, so we can have a live kicking competition in the middle of a game. Like, you never want those situations to occur, but I think we're going to see a lot of practice or a lot of kicking competitions in camp leading up to games.
I agree with you. I think it would be really, it would do the team a disservice if they just chose a kicker after this and they're like, we're good. There's no way that that's what they're saying in the building.
No, especially knowing how close they are, you know, to being where this team wants to be. You can feel it in the building, the energy, the offense, the defense. Got to be able to contribute in that special teams phase for this team to truly have a shot at getting to, you know, the end goal of the Super Bowl. So any final roster thoughts here before we wrap this thing up? Because in about 48 hours, we'll be really close to finding out who the active 53 actually are.
You know, this is our best guess. Don't knock us when we're wrong, because we will be. I think I always go back to, like, this is a really tough part of the offseason. It's my least favorite part of the offseason. I hate watching guys get cut. Everyone is like, these are the elite of the elite, and everyone's worthy of a spot. And it's just unfortunate that you get 69 spots. And that's just that. The Packers are in a, I feel really, really good about where this team is. The depth is so strong. And the fact that we're talking about how they could keep 6 edge rushers and 6 inside linebackers and 7 cornerbacks and 7 wide receivers. I mean, this is where you want to be. This is, they're exactly where I, as a fan and just like as a watcher of NFL football, thinking this team is like poised to make some kind of important deep push. This is where I would want this team to be at this point in the season. And now we have less than 2 weeks until week one.
Yeah. I mean, really well said. I was going to say the same thing where there's nothing worse than making your 53 going, oh shoot, I got 3. I need at least 5. Like, the depth that they have where you're trimming hairs when it comes to like keeping 6 inside linebackers, keeping 5 inside linebackers that you feel really strongly about is a good thing. Being able to potentially keep 6, like, that just shows, and we've talked about it, the better these players are playing on like defense. Like, Christian Wolf's probably not going to play defense for the Packers if he makes the roster. Yeah. But when you have guys like Eric Wilson and Christian Welch that you, or, you know, Oladapo, if he makes the 53, that you trust to be core special teamers, that just takes a load off of everybody else, because then they don't have to do as much of the heavy lifting. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. These are our, you know, our 53 roster predictions. Feel free to leave them in the comments. Let us know on Twitter what you're thinking. You can find the show on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Remember, if you're listening to the audio format, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Become a supporter if you so choose. We really appreciate it. If you're here on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe to the channel, as we appreciate that so much as well. We'll be back later in the week to talk about the 53 and any changes, any movement that we see from this initial roster. And then before you know it, we'll be talking about week one in Brazil. So thank you, as always, for listening. The season is almost here. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.